Welcome back to the Men's Health Show on Sirius XM Channel 110, Dr. Radio. I'm Dr. Stacy Loeb, your host, a urologist at NYU. We've just had some very interesting segments on the big three cancers that we treat in urology, which are prostate cancer, bladder cancer, and kidney cancer. Now we are going to switch gears and talk about some of the health risks facing doctors themselves, and in particular, a brand new study that just came out in JAMA, one of our most prestigious medical journals, yesterday, discussing how common is depression among people who are training to be doctors. So I would like to have the authors of this excellent new study on the show tonight to talk about depression among doctors in training, doctors in general, and some discussion perhaps of some of the other health risks that we face being a part of this profession. So first, I'd like to welcome on Dr. Douglas Matta, who's a resident physician in pathology at Brigham and Women's Hospital and a clinical fellow at Harvard Medical School. Welcome on the air.
Thanks, Stacy. It's great to be here. Thanks for having us.
And we'll be joined in just a minute as well by his co-author, Dr. Srijan Sen, who's a psychiatrist and associate professor in the psychiatry department at the University of Michigan. So, Dr. Matta, can you talk a little bit about the new study that you came out with? What did you do, and what were the main findings?
Absolutely. Well, this past January, I was researching the topic of depression among residents. It's something that I see a lot among my peers, since I'm currently a resident myself, and I was interested in the fact that no one had yet synthesized all of the data that are out there on the topic. So we set out together to find every single study that had ever been published on depression in residents, and we found them from the 1970s all the way up until this past September. We were able to show that 29% of young doctors go through bouts of depression every year, which is really a remarkable number if you think about the fact that for people in the same age group in the general population, they only have about an 8% risk per year of having a major depressive episode.
So 29% of doctors in training had depression.
That's right. And we also noted that the upper bound on that estimate is actually even higher, 43%, which is really remarkable. Now, all 43% of those residents may not meet criteria for so-called major depressive disorder, which is what a psychiatrist would diagnose them with. However, they nonetheless have important burden from depressive symptoms. And the fact that the number is this high really means that it's kind of a universal experience among residents.
Yeah, I mean, I completely believe that these numbers are that high. I remember when I was about to start residency, and I said, you know, I was telling a physician who had been out of residency for a few years, already finished, how excited I was to start residency and learn how to be a urologist. And they said, you know, Stacy, residency is just not a happy time. And it just sounded so ominous, but actually, I actually agree with that, and it seems like your study agrees with that, too.
Unfortunately, I think so.
Right. Dr. Sen is now joined in here, and Dr. Sen, you're a psychiatrist. Were you surprised by these findings compared to what you see in practice with other groups of patients, and particularly young people?
Thanks for having me. I don't know if I was surprised, but the rates of depression here are clearly higher than other people in this age range, and much higher than the general population. The rates of depression here are certainly 4 to 5 times higher than we'd normally expect to see among people in their mid-20s.
Wow. So, Dr. Matta, about how many residents total were you looking at here?
So we actually found a total of 17,560 individuals. And out of those 17,000 people, 4,969 of them screened positive for depression.
Wow. Really, really incredible. Dr. Sen, can you tell us a little bit about what actually qualified as depression?
Sure. So different... we had over 50 individual studies that we combined in this meta-analysis across decades of medical education, and the individual primary studies measured depression differently in different studies, mostly through depressive symptom inventories, where they went through a series of questions related to depressive symptoms and essentially asked if those symptoms were present.
Like what
absent.
Kinds of symptoms do you mean?
Difficulties with low mood, with concentration, lack of interest, lack of energy, problems with sleep and appetite, and most concerningly, the emergence of suicidal thoughts or suicidal symptoms.
Oh, okay. And is suicide more common among doctors?
Yes, we don't have great data, but there's pretty good evidence that. Suicide is about 1.5 to 2 times more common among male physicians, and even more, about 3 times more common among female physicians than women in the general population. So suicide is certainly higher among physicians.
Wow. Dr. Sun, what is your theory on why that is?
I think it's a complex problem. I think the stress of training as a physician and then being in practice as a physician is certainly a big part of it. There's also a lot of stigma around mental health issues among physicians. Even while it's lessened a little bit in the general public, it's still very strong among physicians. So physicians tend to not get treatment, either psychotherapy or medications, and don't do a good job of taking care of themselves. And oftentimes, depression progresses in physicians farther than it really should, and tragically, sometimes to the point of suicide.
Well, for anyone just tuning in that wants to join the discussion, please feel free to call 877-NYU-DOCS or 877-698-3627. We have Bruce on the line now from New York. Bruce, welcome on the show.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Olds. Fascinating study. I'm just curious about the methodology of the study and the fact that I've worked in 2 careers that were pretty known for stress and depression, but I'm just wondering if the reason why the rate amongst the doctors is higher is because it's easier for them for it to be reported amongst doctors. If a colleague says maybe you need to see somebody, whereas the general public may not be as likely to have their symptoms noted as bad as depression. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bruce. I think that's very reasonable. Dr. Matta, what do you think? Do you think that that this is a real finding or just some kind of reporting bias?
I think the finding is definitively real. One reason why I don't think it's reporting bias is because the questionnaires that were used in these studies, for the most part, were actually validated and created for use on members of the general population. And the types of questions that are asked in these questionnaires are generic enough and simple enough to understand that anyone who can understand English or any other language to which they're translated should be able to provide information that will enable us to determine whether or not they have depressive symptoms. In addition, I think in doctors in particular, this is definitely a real finding because if anything, doctors would be more likely to underreport depression. If you're a physician and you know that your colleagues have found out that you're depressed, then you might worry about licensure issues. You might worry that your superiors won't trust you with patients. You might be ashamed of the symptoms that you have and you'd want to hide it. And since every doctor knows how to diagnose depression, every doctor would also know how to lie about having depression or would know what to say not to receive a diagnosis of depression.
What I thought was one of the most convincing parts of this study, actually, was the fact that many of the studies that you looked at, there was a whole group of them where they asked the same questions to doctors when they were first starting the training and then after they had been in residency for a period of time, and found that indeed their answers did change over time within the same person. So I think to me that was very convincing that it is something about the residency experience that actually led to the greater onset of these symptoms, since it was comparisons within the exact same person over time. Dr. Sen, do you have anything to add to Bruce's question?
Yeah, I agree with Dr. Mata that it's and these weren't we weren't assessing cases or by people reporting them. Everyone in these programs were being assessed by the types of inventories that we've been discussing. So that sort of bias shouldn't be playing a role. And I agree with you that those types of what we call prospective longitudinal studies that assess residents before they got into the stressful experience and shown that at that time their rates of depression were pretty similar to the general population, and then followed them while they're going through the stress of residency and showed that pretty dramatic increase validate the findings that we have here.
So thanks, Bruce, for calling. I think these are all great points, that many of these studies were actually just checking these instruments among all the residents. So the fact that so many of them reported it, and it wasn't just people who happened to show up to a specific clinic or something like that. So that makes a lot of sense. I think this is really great recognition to the issues faced by doctors, so I really want to congratulate both of you. I mean, I'll say that I think there's a lot of health risks that are faced by doctors at all different points in the trajectory. Actually, in one of the JAMA journals, I found another article that just came out that is called Patterns of Needle, Stick, and Sharp Injuries Among Training Residents. So in this other study that came out right at the same week as your study, they're discussing how many residents actually get needle stick injuries. So in this study, there were 924 residents that were trained during this period of time, 924, and there were a total of 191 needle stick injuries. So basically, wow. It's like almost about a fifth of the residents had a needle stick injury at some point. Obviously, you know, raising a potential risk of some kind of bloodborne illness. Fortunately, in this particular study, none of the patients were, none of the doctors converted positive for anything that they found. But I think that's pretty scary to think about not only the mental health risk, but many health risks faced by doctors. What do you think, Dr. Mata?
I think that's definitely an interesting study, and in particular, I think the two studies are actually quite related, because it's also been shown that sleep deprivation and depression, which are highly correlated with one another, are also associated with an increased risk of needle stick injury and of getting bloodborne pathogens. So one can actually directly lead to the other, and vice versa.
Right. Dr. Sen, do you have any comments about some of the other health risks faced by trainees or physicians in general?
I think that there's a range, and I think it's important that a lot of the factors that probably lead to these sorts of needle stick injuries also lead to mistakes that affect patients. And there's a lot of evidence that long work hours and problems with depression lead to an increased rate of medical errors, with depressed interns probably committing somewhere around twice as many errors as healthy interns. So this the training system we have certainly affects the mental health and physical health of trainees, but that also carries over to the patients that they're treating.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think these are all major issues, residents who are training to be doctors have such a high risk of mental health issues and even potential physical issues. I mean, I'll say as a personal anecdote that I was lifting a patient in the operating room during residency and herniated a disc, and have now had two back surgeries as a result of this injury during residency. So I don't think a lot of people think about, becoming a doctor as like a dangerous field necessarily. Right. Especially when you think of it compared to other things that more traditionally involve, manual labor or other things, but it really can have quite a physical and psychological toll, at least in the field of urology. And you guys have different specialties, so you probably have different risks, but there's an increased risk of cataracts from the lasers that we use to treat kidney stones. There's an increased risk of spinal problems from all of the leaning over that we do in the operating room. So a lot of people have neck issues as they get older from doing these surgeries, because your head is actually quite heavy and pulling on the spine. And now this new finding that you've reported, that even starting in residency, these issues of depression, and the other studies about increased risk of suicide among practicing physicians. So I think it really is very concerning that doctors are at quite a high risk of all these issues. Dr. Matta, what do you think?
I'd agree with you there. I mean, in pathology, we definitely also face our own unique set of risks. One is we work with formalin on a daily basis, which has been shown to cause cancer, and it can also cause bad irritation to the eyes and throat. In addition to that, we're using scalpels all day and cutting up specimens that, in many cases, may also have infectious diseases. And so there's also that same risk of getting a bloodborne pathogen, in particular during autopsies. How about you, Dr. Sen?
We've in some of the work that our group has done, we've seen in these training doctors and interns that the ones who were getting depressed during the early years of training, we can even start to see changes in their vascular functioning and some early changes that might lead to well down the road, but lead to increased risk for heart attacks and strokes. And we know that stress and depression are really big factors and important factors in the risk for cardiovascular disease. So the training period really is a danger period for a vast array of diseases.
Do you think that people finishing a residency training could actually develop PTSD from their experiences, Dr. Sen?
It hasn't been studied that well, but the small studies that have been done have found a rate of PTSD about 8 to 12%.
A post-traumatic stress disorder for any of the listeners who are not familiar. I'm just wondering if it could have such a strong impact that it could even lead to, psychological consequences afterwards. Do you think that is a potential concern, Dr. Sen?
I think that's a potential concern, and with us, Douglas has done some work showing that the people who get depressed during the intern year, the first year of training, are at higher risk for having depression. Four, five, 6 years later on.
Wow. Yep. And, maybe these issues start even earlier. I saw another study that was a companion article in JAMA, I believe, also coming out this week, showing that medical students were asked to draw comics, and almost half of them drew their supervisor as a monster. So I think... the fact that medical students could have such a negative view of the people who are watching over them, who are at a higher level within medicine, and that, residents are depressed and physicians have a higher risk of depression and suicide, what do you think we need to change about medical training? To me, this was a huge wake-up call that something is terribly wrong in the way that we're training physicians. So how do we make the environment more friendly? Dr. Matta, do you have any ideas or know of, programs or have any suggestions where to go with this?
Well, I think the fact that the medical students drew pictures like that is indicative of the fact that we still have a very hierarchical training system. And we want to instead encourage people to work in teams, because medicine is all about being a team player. I think some important possible things to think about would be that today the medical school experience is very much disconnected from the residency experience. In medical school, you're not actually learning how to be a resident. The experiences are very different from one another. And it would be good, I think, to have a better union of the undergraduate and the graduate medical education to make that shift better and easier for them to do.
So all the way through, you think that this system needs to be more unified, where medical school curriculum is more aligned with the curriculum of doctors in training for residency?
I think that's true. And also, right now, you know, today more than any other time in history in medicine, interns and second-year residents, particularly the lower-level residents, are doing very different jobs than they used to. Nowadays, a typical intern is only spending about 10% of their time at the bedside with patients, which normally is the most rewarding aspect of being a physician. Instead, they're spending 40, 50, 60, even sometimes 70% of their time on kind of drudgery work, secretarial work, using the electronic medical record, sitting in front of a computer all day, and not actually getting that human connection. And that's what they went in there for in the first place. And in addition to that, the workload is so high that a lot of times just merely working takes the place of actually actively learning from your attending physicians.
Right. Right, absolutely. Dr. Sen, what do you think are some directions to go with this? How should we improve medical education, or how to increase awareness of these mental health issues?
I think those points are really good and spot on. I think the governing bodies have tried to make some changes in limiting work hours and the lengths of each shift, and overall those changes, while well intentioned, have really had disappointing results without seeing any change in the levels of depression or the quality of care that these physicians are providing. I think as we've been discussing, the real problem is the amount of work and the crushing amount of work required of residents hasn't really been reduced, and the type of work is not the rewarding kind of work that we became doctors to do. So I think really those sorts of fundamental changes, where we offload some of the sort of secretarial or non-educational work that the residents are currently doing, and allowing them to focus on patients, is what's necessary. But really, will require some fundamental change in the system and investment of resources.
Absolutely, Dr. Sen. We have about 30 seconds left. Can you just say what you think someone should do, a resident or otherwise, if they're having depressive symptoms?
I think it's important for residents to recognize symptoms in themselves and their colleagues and to really get help, ideally from reaching out to a psychiatrist or a therapist and getting help. But if they're not willing to do that, then there's some really good online tools that have been developed that can help people understand and work with their own symptoms. But I think getting help in some ways is really too infrequent in residents and really important.
Absolutely. Well, thanks to both of you, and congratulations. For anyone who missed this segment, you know, even almost the third of residents in training having depression, I mean, just really shocking. And thanks to you guys for increasing awareness of these issues. Thanks also to all of our listeners for tuning in tonight. There are some more resources about depression on the American Medical Association's website. Just remember, Men's Health is live every Wednesday from 6 to 8 Eastern, with repeats throughout the week. Thanks again, and have a great day.